Let Trumpamania rule again. Let Trumpamania make America great again.
The time has come for President Biden to pass the torch.
It is time to step aside and turn this over to a new generation.
The historic address from President Joe Biden sharing his decision to step aside in November's race and endorse his vice president, Kamala Harris, in his place. Surrounded by family and close friends, Biden telling fellow Americans their choice for president this November will determine whether the country moves forward or backward with hope or hatred.
I've decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. That's the best way to unite our nation.
For months, we saw that Democratic voters in our polling and even on the ground would tell us they wanted to change the top of the ticket, and now they got it. And we are seeing, thousands of miles away, watching through a TV screen, I feel like I can hear and appreciate the enthusiasm that is there in the room. I mean, the crowd is with her.
Welcome to the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show. My name's Andy Z, and I'm joined today by Annie Day.
Very glad to be here with you.
All right, Annie, we opened today with a short montage of some of what has gone down over the last month. And on our website, revcom.us, we have posted a new series of social media posts from the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, that really get into this current situation in some depth. And the social media post, dispatch number 64, the title of which really captures what you saw in that montage, where it's titled, "The Increasing Craziness, the Intensifying Situation, and the Possibility of Revolution."
That's right. And making this revolution is what we're about on the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show. This show is like no other. We base ourselves on the scientifically grounded understanding that all the oppression and injustice that we see here and all over the world, the threat to the environment, the wars, so much more, is rooted in this system of capitalism and imperialism. And we recognize that these things cannot be reformed away. They can only be ended through a real revolution. And real revolution is possible. And one of the greatest strengths that we have, not just on this show, but the masses of oppressed humanity here and all over the world, is the revolutionary leadership of Bob Avakian. Bob Avakian is the architect of the new communism, a new framework for the emancipation of all humanity. He's forged a strategy for a real revolution in this most powerful country. He's written a constitution for a liberating and a lively new society and system that would replace this system of capitalism, imperialism. And most recently, Bob Avakian has analyzed and is providing real-time game-changing leadership to seize on the rare time we're living through now with all this craziness that we're talking about, when revolution is more possible than it has been in generations. And we're going to hear directly from Bob Avakian about this opportunity, about this rare time for this revolution for real.
What we're going to hear from Bob Avakian later in today's program is an answer to a question posed by Sansara Taylor in the interviews we did with Bob Avakian on the question of this rare time that we're living in and the possibility for revolution. But before that, we're going to get into some of the latest developments.
That's right. I'm going to do a segment on the five takeaways from the Republican National Convention, a fascist show, if there ever was one. We're going to talk about the actual role of Kamala Harris, and we're going to have Noche Diaz in a short segment on the vicious police murder of Sonia Massey. But first, a commentary from Andy on the unprecedented dropping out of Biden from the presidential race and what we need to do now.
The madness, the intensity of the shifting ground. What has been normal is no longer. This has been a month that underscores that this is a time when the future hangs in the balance. When the way things have been for decades, the way people have been conditioned to see how this country is governed, are coming undone. This is a time, because of all of this, that there is the possibility to make a real and liberating revolution. Just this past week, the fascist Republican show coronation of Trump in Milwaukee. Genocide Joe Biden drops out of the presidential race. Kamala Harris is now the new Democratic Party candidate, graduating from prosecuting Black and Latino youth to promising to prosecute U.S. imperialism's rule over the whole world. And the giant sucking election machinery has gotten a new lease on life, roping people into an election like no other. A drunk, delusional euphoria has, for the moment at least, possessed liberals and progressives.
Oh, free at last, free at last. Kamala Harris is unleashed. She's just brilliant. She's just, the energy that's coming off of her is the energy that's coming off of the American people. Look, I mean, this is 2008 vibes already. She's done in literally 48 hours things that were considered impossible. She got the nomination. She took over cultural. She's a cultural phenomenon now. TikTok loves her. She raised more money than anybody. She signed up 50,000 people.
The facts are, the reality is, that the Republican Party of Trump and J.D. Vance will very likely not accept anything less than an outright brutal fascist form of rule, an openly declared dictatorship, to institute a more thoroughly Christian fascist, white supremacist, women-hating, patriarchal, viciously anti-immigrant society. They are preparing to bring this about through violence if they can't win or steal the election. On the other hand, the excitement among Democrats that Biden has dropped out of the race, with the widespread delirium that Vice President Kamala Harris is now running for president, cannot be allowed to obscure this essential truth. The Democratic Party, as Babavakian says in his social media post, Revolution Number 63,
is determined to preserve and enforce this system in the basic ways it has functioned for generations, with its outer shell of democracy concealing its inner core of capitalist dictatorship in the service of horrendous atrocity.
Now pause on that. Horrendous atrocity in Gaza, in its ramping up of world war preparations against its rivals in China and Russia, in its heartless carrying out of the most deportations in U.S. history. They talk about their support for abortion rights. Support that meant cynically doing nothing to protect those rights when they could have, and now delight in using it as an election football. And under Biden and Harris, we went from these snakes in the Democratic Party donning kente cloth in the Capitol and taking a knee after George Floyd was suffocated in broad daylight by another one of this system's pigs, to Biden then repeating, fund the police, fund the police, fund the police, with Kamala Harris now running in her role as a tough prosecutor. More, the Biden-Harris environmental program cannot conceal that U.S. oil production again set new records last year. And, to say the quiet part out loud, this was conceived as part of war preparations against China. So getting behind either of these parties will lead to a horrific future. That is our first point. So stop deluding yourself with idiotic social media memes and childish fantasies. The current insane euphoria among liberals, so-called progressives, over Kamala Harris does not and will not change the reality that there is no better side in this fight between the Democrats and the Republicans.
So for me, it was a no-brainer. You've got a younger, more energetic candidate ready to go in the wings, already on the ticket, already won with you in 2020. Might be better on Gaza, and we can talk about that, than Joe Biden, although it's not hard to be better than Biden on Gaza, given how bad he's been, and actually has a good record as a senator, as an attorney general. So why wouldn't you go with Kamala Harris?
Compared to other people within the administration, she has shown that she's more amenable to a status quo change in U.S.-Israel policy.
And I feel like I can hear and appreciate the enthusiasm that is there in the room. I mean, the crowd is with her.
The interests of the masses of people here and around the world lie not in choosing between these oppressors, but in making a real revolution involving millions of people, aiming to sweep away the whole system of capitalism, imperialism, and replacing its relations and institutions of exploitation and oppression and its putrid culture with ones that are liberating and uplifting. But these two parties are not the same, and that is the second crucial point. The reality is, as Babavakian says in his social media post number 8,
the country as a whole is being torn apart by divisions that can no longer be covered over, and things can no longer be held together in the way they have been for generations. Everything will very likely be coming to a head and coming up for grabs this year, 2024. With the presidential election this year, a sharp focus of the fight between the dominating ruling class parties, Democrats and Republicans. A fight that is very likely to break all out of the bounds of the normal way they exercise power over the people and keep their whole murderous system going.
Trump is a genocidal racist. The MAGA movement is hell-bent on reversing with a vengeance and violence every partial concession to the struggle against oppression since the 1960s, and to make a fanatical, bloodthirsty version of Christianity the guiding ideology and the law of the land. One of their chief ideologues has said that 2025 will mark a revolution, one that will be bloodless if the left allows it. Bob Avakian, in the incredibly important analysis he has been releasing this week at Bob Avakian Official, has laid out the dynamics of this conflict, some of the different ways that this could develop, and some of the truly unprecedented openings, as well as the deep challenges that this rare and extraordinary time we are living in presents to people who yearn for the fundamental change that humanity so desperately needs. Fundamental change that can only be brought about by revolution.
This is not about just changing the faces of the oppressors who are ruling this people-killing, environment-destroying, nuclear war-threatening system that poses a growing danger to the very existence of human beings everywhere. And I'm not talking about what goes on now, where some get ahead and a few get big bank and become part of the business of exploiting people, while masses of people are still held down, exploited, abused, and despised. I'm talking about a real revolution, a revolution to actually overthrow this system we are now forced to live under and bring something much better into being, a whole different way to live and to relate to each other, a completely different system, working to meet the fundamental needs of the masses of people and to serve their highest interests in putting an end to all oppression and exploitation everywhere in the world. A revolution and a radically new society that really is liberating and uplifting.
This brings us to our third point. What do you, what do we need to do so that humanity does not have to live with the existential dangers of the wars and the destruction of the environment and all of the exploitation and oppression that billions of people all around the world suffer from? The progressive writer, Rebecca Traister, giddy with Kamala Harris's nomination for president, writes in New York Magazine, quote, "Look, we've now lost so much already and are on the verge of losing so much more. There aren't many rocks left to cling to. And the ones that exist seem to have cognitive impairment and COVID. So we better leap. We have to leap. No! If we limit our sights to desperately finding a rock to cling to, a rock that is clutching the dead, heavy, and killing burden on humanity of putting our faith in this system, of voting for the party that is raining down a genocide on the people of Palestine, we will sink to the bottom of the ocean. But there is a liberating way out of the madness." Bob Avakian says in his social media post number 8,
"This is not a time to be siding with one group of oppressors or another. This is a rare time, a very rare opening, a chance that may come only once in a lifetime, a chance to take advantage of the deep divisions among the ruling oppressors and go after their whole system with the aim of bringing the whole thing down and putting something much better in its place. This rare time must not be squandered, wasted, and thrown away. It must be actively and urgently seized on to bring about a truly emancipating revolution."
To seize on the unprecedented chance to make a real and liberating revolution which exists in this time, the organized forces for this revolution need to grow. And grow quickly, from small numbers to many hundreds, and then thousands, Bob Avakian has repeatedly emphasized. With thousands organized into the ranks of the revolution, millions can be won to the revolution. And with millions won to revolution, there could be a real possibility for this revolution to win. This is where all of you watching, and thousands more right now, come in. You need to be a part of this. Babavakian says,
it would make a decisive difference. It could make all the difference with regard to whether there is a real chance for revolution if people step into this revolution and help to further build the organized forces for this revolution now and in an ongoing way. This is the challenge. This is the possibility. This is a precious opportunity that must not be missed, a rare chance to make revolution, which must not be squandered, wasted, thrown away, but must be actively seized by everyone who hungers for a radically different and emancipating world.
To seize on this situation and to act in the way that could actually bring about a positive future out of all of this madness, it's really crucial to get into these latest social media posts, as well as the whole set of dispatches that are on Babavakian official social media. And also to get organized, to get with the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity. So having spoken of the euphoria, the drunken euphoria around Kamala Harris, we need to get a little bit more into the reality of what she's bringing and what she's doing. So Rafael Cadaris has done a social media post that gets into that. We're going to show that right now.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
You think Kamala Harris just fell out of a coconut tree? No, she was put in positions of power by the ruling class of this system and allowed to be there as long as what she's doing serves their interests. A black and South Asian woman presiding over this system of oppression. Let's talk about who Kamala Harris really is. First, let's look at what she did as prosecutor, working with the police to lock up black and brown people, mainly in California.
I decided I was going to start prosecuting parents for truancy. Well, this was a little controversial in San Francisco.
Yeah, you heard that right. Kamala Harris tried to throw people in jail because their kids wouldn't go to school. When she was prosecutor in San Francisco, she was responsible for convicting almost 2,000 people for marijuana offenses. She was not some kind of progressive prosecutor. She enforced the brutal racist laws of this brutal racist system. When she was attorney general, she defied and fought against a Supreme Court decision that tried to release thousands of nonviolent prisoners to deal with the brutal, overcrowded conditions in California prisons. And she was notorious for blocking the appeals of prisoners who were wrongly convicted.
As a prosecutor in law enforcement, I have a huge stick.
And she used it. And now she's on the campaign trail bragging about being a prosecutor? Sorry, but being a cog in the machinery of mass incarceration that destroyed the lives of millions of people in this country, especially black and brown people, is nothing to be proud of.
If you don't go to school, Kamala's gonna put you and me in jail.
And since being vice president, Kamala Harris has enforced Biden's vicious immigration policy, shutting down asylum, record-setting deportations.
Do not come. Do not come.
That's cold-blooded Kamala when she was in Guatemala talking to the people there who are desperately fleeing from poverty, environmental devastation, violence that's the direct result of over 100 years of U.S. domination, exploitation, dictatorships, death squads, CIA coups. This is like setting someone's house on fire and then locking the doors to trap them inside. Do you think it makes any difference to these desperate people that it's a brown woman doing this to them? No, but it does make her more effective at getting you to go along with it. And don't believe the hype that she's better than Biden on Palestine in any meaningful way. Listen to this racist lie that she told when she spoke in front of AIPAC.
The Israeli ingenuity that has truly made a desert bloom.
Palestine was not some empty desert before the Zionists came and made it bloom. There were people there. People that the Zionists have been trying to erase for 100 years and are now attempting to carry out what amounts to a final solution, fully backed by the U.S.
We stand with Israel because of our shared values, which are so fundamental to the founding of both our nations. I believe the bonds between the United States and Israel are unbreakable, which is why I support the United States' commitment to provide Israel with $38 billion in military assistance over the next decade.
Now, Kamala didn't just fall out of a coconut tree. She's risen through the ranks of this system by saying and doing whatever this system requires and being as ruthless as necessary to carry it out.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you.
The context is a country founded on slavery and genocide with white supremacy woven into every institution. The context is a global system of capitalism imperialism that the U.S. sits at the top of. A system where a few dozen billionaires own more wealth than the poorest half of humanity. A system that rests on the blood, sweat, and tears of 150 million child laborers, stitching your clothes, picking your vegetables, mining the minerals that go in your cell phones. A system that the U.S. enforces with endless wars, 750 military bases all over the world, and genocidal allies like the State of Israel. Whoever is president of the U.S. empire has to enforce the dictates of that system. That's the job description. That's what Kamala Harris is applying for. Those are the rules of the game. And if you don't play by those rules, you're out. Thinking Kamala Harris is going to be anything other than a brutal enforcer of this system makes about as much sense as thinking an NFL quarterback's going to go out on the field and start playing pickleball. So for all of you who didn't just fall out of a coconut tree, it's time to get serious about an actual revolution. As the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian put it,
this is not about just changing the faces of the oppressors who are ruling this people-killing, environment-destroying, nuclear war-threatening system that poses a growing danger to the very existence of human beings everywhere. I'm talking about a real revolution. A revolution to actually overthrow this system we are now forced to live under and bring something much better into being. A whole different way to live and to relate to each other. A completely different system, working to meet the fundamental needs of the masses of people and to serve their highest interests in putting an end to all oppression and exploitation everywhere in the world.
Last week's Republican National Convention marked a leap in hardening the party's base around Donald Trump and his open white supremacy, hatred of women and LGBTQ people, and vicious attacks of immigrants. Trump's survival of an assassination attempt was used to spread his fascist movement to millions of new people. At the last minute, they switched out some of the original, more blatantly fascist speeches to try to soften Trump's image and emphasize national unity. But the actual content of the convention still made clear that that national unity is to be on fascist terms. Here are five takeaways from the convention. Number one, Christian fascist lunacy on steroids. Speaker after speaker, including Trump, insisted that God himself save Trump from assassination because God sent him to restore America.
I said to myself, wow, what was that? It can only be a bullet. There was blood pouring everywhere, and yet, in a certain way, I felt very safe because I had God on my side. I felt that.
Two days ago, evil came for the man we admire and love so much. I thank God that his hand was on President Trump.
You know, I have no doubt that God lowered a shield of protection over President Trump. Listen, if you didn't believe in miracles before Saturday, you better be believing right now.
No, God is not real, and Trump is not anointed by God. Trump represents the most horrific, murderous oppression of masses of people. But this elevation of Trump as a religious martyr is preparing his base to fight a holy war to impose their nightmare of white Christian fascist theocracy. Number two, a toxic mix of aggressive patriarchy and patriotism. Listen to the wrestler Hulk Hogan, who helped introduce Trump.
You better get ready, because when Donald J. Trump becomes the president of the United States, all the real Americans are going to be nicknamed Trumpites, because all the Trumpites are going to be running wild for 4 years. So with the power of Donald J. Trump and all the Trumpites running wild, America is going to get back on track. And like Donald J. Trump said, America is going to be great again.
Trump even entered the convention to James Brown's stupid patriarchal anthem, It's a Man's World.
This is a man's world. Ow! But it wouldn't be
the whole time Trump was built up as a tender, loving, but tough patriarch who would fight for his country as he would fight for his family. Now, the one true thing that Trump said was this.
Then there's an international crisis, the likes of which the world has seldom been part of. Nobody can believe what's happening. War is now raging in Europe, in the Middle East. A growing specter of conflict hangs over Taiwan, Korea, the Philippines, and all of Asia. And our planet is teetering on the edge of World War III. And this will be a war like no other war because of weaponry. The weapons are no longer army tanks going back and forth shooting at each other. These weapons are obliteration.
But after this veiled threat, he boasted that he could prevent wars with a mere phone call threat to any leader. Trump takes the suicidal lunacy of the imperialist reliance on nuclear weapons, which could end all life on the planet, to an even more delusional and insane level, all in the name of tough American global dominance. Number three, bloodthirsty hatred and scapegoating of immigrants. Ted Cruz, Trump, and others whipped up the crowd by recounting case after case of illegal immigrants allegedly raping and murdering American women, claiming this happened every damn day.
We are facing an invasion on our southern border. Every day, Americans are dying, murdered, assaulted, raped by illegal immigrants that the Democrats have released.
They conveniently left out the cases of mass slaughter of immigrants by white men and the fact that so-called illegal immigrants commit crimes at a much lower rate than native-born Americans. But this scapegoating went even further. Trump and his minions blamed immigrants for everything bad, from opiate addiction to housing prices. And this was right out of Hitler's Nazi playbook. Hitler blamed Jews for everything wrong with Germany. And that led to the Nazi genocide of 6 million Jews. Number four, black people pimping for Trump became even more shameless.
The left told me to hate Trump, and even worse, to hate the other side, the people who support him. When you cut through the lies, you realize the truth. American families were better when Donald Trump was president. We were safer, wealthier, and stronger. A vote for Donald Trump is a vote to put money back in our pockets and good food on our kids' plates. Yes. Or, as Trump would say, it's a vote to make America great again.
Look, for the last 20 plus years, rap music has been increasingly suffocated by what Bob Avakian has called the three M's and P's. Me, 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 money, 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 misogyny, and patriarchy. And Trump has bribed some rappers with legal pardons. But more than that, he's used his open misogyny, his mugshot, and now the fact that he was shot to build up an image of himself as the biggest gangster of all. And way too many bootlicking rappers and black people are eating this up, playing minstrel to Trump's fascism. Also on display, black Christian fascists, among them the unhinged Tim Scott.
Thank God Almighty that we live in a country that still believes in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega.
Ben Carson.
And when God is with us, nobody can stand against us.
And the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, who once said at a campaign event, some people need killing.
Some folks need killing.
Number five, Trump promised even faster environmental suicide than Biden.
We will drill, baby, drill.
He is literally calling for massively increasing the production of oil at a time when we just had the two hottest days in recorded history back to back, and people are dying from heat in record numbers all over the world. The whole vibe was, let's just plunder everything for our profit now and the planet and future generations. God'll take care of it. The Republican National Convention drew a living picture of the truth that Bob Avakian outlines in the urgently important set of new social media messages that are featured on RevCom.us and are all now posted on Bob Avakian's social media at Bob Avakian Official. Answering that is up to us. So with all that said, it's time for a little fun with this video from our very own Sansara Taylor.
All right, stop. Cogitate and listen. Minstrelsy at the Republican convention. Black religious wingnuts put on display. It's fascist DEI as they take your rights away. Will it ever stop? I don't know. Depends if you wake up or go with the flow. To the extreme, bootlicking Trump is a scandal. Filling the stage with Trump's stupid handle. Stop. Have you lost your damn mind? Trump is a racist. He's drunk a white pie. He's deadly. He plays you like a melody. He's a criminal with 34 felonies. Every
topic is a freedom
fighter. There's Nazis and
racists
and trading insiders. MAGA's a problem. We've got to solve it. Break with the whole rotten system
that caused it.
We voted
Donald Trump.
Is your mind that lazy?
America needs
no,
safe.
You need safe.
We voted Trump.
Is your memory that hazy?
November.
You have already gone crazy. Let's just review some history. Trump said the Central Park Five should be killed. When J6 happened, he was absolutely thrilled. He said Nazis are fine and shoot shoplifters. He robbed his own charity because he is a grifter. Shithole countries, you know he didn't hate Norway. He's laughing at you and put that red hat away. Wake up. It's divide and conquer. Quit acting like a brainwashed sleepwalker. Muslims. He banned them from the country, called Mexicans rapists, and he did it bluntly. Said Palestinian, like it was a slur, compared barn animals to her and her and her. Sexual assault? He brags about it. Obama's birth certificate claims no one ever found it. Abortion rights? He took them away. Men can f*** around, women have to pay. Misogyny is gangster, so he loves this disaster, but we need to break the chains of these petty slave masters. I know I'm not like Fergiaro the man. I'm aware I can't rap. He seems to think he can.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
Trying to look past this thing that's between us. Wondering when all this anger will fade. The stars look the same from where we are standing. Why can't we fix this mess we've made? Let's not forget that our fates are as one. Just because we feel numb and betrayed. There is love, there must be something good, something strong between you and me. There is hope, we must try. If we don't, we'll regret it the rest of our lives, side by side, forever. stronger together, hoping to find a path to forgiveness, knowing that pride always gets in the way. We all want a place where it's safe to be human, the welcome embrace of a brand new day. Let's not allow what we have to be lost just because of what someone might say. There is love, there must be something good, something strong between you and me. There is hope, we must try. If we don't, we'll regret it the rest of our lives, side by side, forever. You and me, we are stronger together. Stronger together. There is love, there must be.
We have to have fun while we're taking on the bullshit. So to get more into the danger we're facing, but also the very real potential to wrench a revolutionary opening out of this situation, we're going to hear from Bob Avakian from a series of interviews that were done on this show in the fall of 2022. Heart and soul and hardcore for revolution.
Well, I'd like to ask about how this threat of war, open inter-imperialist war, World War III, nuclear war, relates to the rare time that we're in, that you have analyzed, that we're in a rare time when revolution could be possible?
Well, I think what it does is underline the urgency of the situation. It just, you know, puts it in very sharp relief that, you know, actually making revolution. I mean, you can imagine if you made revolution in this country, what the effect that would be in the world as a whole, including for the masses of people in these other imperialist countries, whether you're talking about Germany, France, and so on the side of the U.S., or in Russia or China, for that matter. Imagine in China, which, you know, still pretends to be socialist. It hasn't given up the pretense. Imagine if there were an actual revolution, you know, working to, you know, to establish socialism in this country. Imagine the effect on the masses of Chinese people, as well as the people in Russia and people throughout the world. So, you know, this underscores the urgency of the situation. Now, you know, there could be urgency without possibility, and that, of course, would be very bad. But as I've written, you know, in the work you referred to, something terrible or something truly emancipating, there's also what's going on within this country with the divisions within the ruling class, which are unprecedented, haven't happened, you know, before, since the Civil War, essentially. And, you know, these are getting sharper all the time. And now left to itself, of course, that's very bad. It can only lead to a very bad outcome because one of these, you know, one section of the ruling class represented by the Republican Party is an openly fascist party. It's openly white supremacist, misogynist, patriarchal, male supremacist. You know, right down the line, it's like openly and aggressively, you know, insisting upon oppressive relations and the violence to back that up. You know, and, you know, repeatedly you hear, you know, Republican Party politicians encouraging violence while they have this base of millions of people out there who are, you know, chomping at the bit to commit violence to get rid of all this stuff where, you know, any kind of possible concession of any limited kind to the struggle against white supremacy, you know, and male supremacy and so on. You know, they just, you know, they can't stand the idea that, you know, gay people are out of the closet and now there's just trans people asserting their rights. They just can't stand this. And to them, you know, this they regard this as existential. They regard this as a way the country is going that is totally unacceptable to them. It's not worth living in if this is the way the country goes, even with these minor concessions, while all this oppression is by no means eliminated and is, you know, powerfully enforced by the workings of the system. But even minor talk about concessions to it is too much for them. And as I pointed out, you know, when we were talking before, you know, this is driven by Christian fundamentalists, Christian fascists. Let's not call them Christian nationalists. Yes, they're American chauvinist nationalists, but they're fascists. They're Christian fundamentalist fascists, you know, who want a theocratic society. That means a society ruled by religious authorities, namely, you know, religious authorities of the type that they are and that they recognize as legitimate. That's what they want. They want, you know, what's that Boebert, that congresswoman, you know, said, you know, that we shouldn't have any more of this separation of church and state. The church should run the state. The church should dictate the terms of the state. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty close to her exact words. You know, so this is what, you know, this is all out of the closet now, if you want to use that term. Or another way to put it is it's all out of the basement. You know, I've referred to this before. Richard Pryor, I think I said it was the 70s, maybe it was the 80s, but he used to have this routine talking about fascists, Nazis. Nazis were a particular fascist in Germany, but they're, you know, means the same thing. And he had this routine where he'd say, you know, brothers say, I ain't scared of no Nazi. Hey, Mr. Nazi. And Richard Pryor say, no, man, if you see a Nazi, you're going to be running as fast as you can. And then he goes on, he says, you know, they got all these people chained up down in the basement. He said, you don't want anything to do with those people. You don't want those people off their chains and out of the basement. And guess where they are? They're off their chains and out of the basement. You know, and they have no intention of going back on their chains and back in the basement. So this is, you know, one section of the ruling class and one part of society aligned with them and, you know, following their leadership. You know, but in a, you know, mutually influencing relationship. It's not just a Republican say you do this and then they do it. It's like, I mean, we'd have to go into more about Trump and everything, but just really quickly, Trump broke all the rules when he ran for president in 2015, 2016. You can't say bad things about John McCain. He's a war hero. Well, he did. They said, that'll be it. You can't do that. Guess what? He kept right on going. And he broke all the rules. You know, he openly called for people to be beaten up at his rallies and all this kind of stuff. He openly promoted violence. You know, and he said himself, I could murder somebody on Fifth Avenue in New York City, and all my supporters would still support me. And lo and behold, they have. You know, he hasn't quite murdered anybody yet on Fifth Avenue. But, you know, he had the Access Hollywood tape where, you know, he openly talked about sexually assaulting women. You know, well, you know, maybe for a day it was like, oh, you know, and I remember one of his supporters who became his press secretary, that Kayleigh McEnany. You know, she did this whole routine. It's interesting to see what her routine was in defending Trump. She said, we're all sinners in the eyes of God, but we've been washed in the blood of Jesus, so therefore Trump, you know, will be forgiven. This is her line she ran out. This is Christian fascism, okay? That's what these people are. And, you know, that's all on one side, and that's heading toward a very bad place, but the reason why there's a positive potential here, it's not been realized yet. When I say something truly emancipating, that's the possibility which has to be seized on. But the reason I say that is because this is breaking down all the established norms of the system, all the ways in which people have been conditioned to go along with the system and believe that by playing by the rules, you know, things will work out all right. You know, the peaceful transfer of power. Well, we should understand, what is the peaceful transfer of power? It's the peaceful transfer of power from one section of the ruling class, represented by the Democrats, to the other section of the ruling class, now represented by the Republicans, or vice versa. Well, Trump, you know, even as early as the 2016 election, made clear he wasn't going to go along with that. And then in 2020, it took a whole nother leap, you know, where he didn't go along with it. And, you know, and he came, as people point out, came very close to actually pulling off a coup and remaining in power. Not just with January 6th, but with the whole effort that he made. And still more is coming out about what was involved in this attempted coup. You know, and so this is all, you know, breaking down the norms of the system. And those norms have what conditioned people to, you know, to believe that you just go along with the way things are. You may not like how they're going now, but then you, next time you have a chance to vote. You know, and I see all these commentators coming on, you know, and you know, making good analysis of this Christian fundamentalism, although they won't call it Christian fascism. But then what do they end up saying? Well, you know, we have the power to stop this because we can vote. But look what's happening to the vote. You know, you have fascist officials in many of these states, you know, the crazy way the U.S. is set up as the United States of America, not a single country. I mean, it is a single country, but it's a country composed of different states, each of which has their own laws. You know, right now there's a bunch of states that are making legalizing marijuana, but for a long time, you know, there was hardly any. So, but you could go to a different state and smoke marijuana, you know, but then if you took it back over the border with you to another state, you'd be in big trouble. That's the craziness of this country, okay? Besides, you know, because they had all these different colonies in the first place. Some of them were slave, based on slavery. Some of them had slaves, but they weren't so much based on slavery. And they had to figure out how to put it together. So they put it together as an amalgamation of states. And it took them a while, a couple of tries, to get even a strong federal central government. So, you know, with all, the reason I'm raising that is you got all these different states where you got all these fascists in office now, including the crucial offices that oversee the elections. And you got legislatures controlled by Republicans in many states who are openly saying, if we don't like the results of the election, we'll just invalidate them. We'll say that they're no good, and we'll just cast the electoral votes for whom we want to get in there. So even more than usual, I mean, voting in this country is voting for one or another section of this, you know, horrendously oppressive ruling class anyway. But now it's even less meaningful, even more meaningless to vote when you have all these Republicans who are not even going to allow the election. I mean, 2020 was a, as some people have pointed out, a dress rehearsal. You know, and they're preparing, if the election doesn't go the way they want it, just, you know, talk about stop the steal, they're prepared to steal it in any case. And to do it, quote unquote, legally, by having the legislatures and the, you know, the secretaries of state overseeing elections and the courts backing them up. Now, let's remember, if there's a dispute about what's legal or not, or what's constitutional or not, where does it go? To the courts. And where does it ultimately go? If, say, you go to one lower court and then you go to an appeals court and they overturn the lower court, where does it go then? To the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is controlled by fascists. That's who just rendered the verdict overturning Roe v. Wade, which had been nearly 50 years a constitutional right for the whole country. That's, you know, the ultimate decider now is the Supreme Court, and that's dominated by fascists. And that, you know, think about the effect of that ruling, overturning Roe v. Wade, and the shockwaves it sent, and the way it angered people. Well, things like that are going to continue to happen. And that's going to shake up a lot of people and make them much more open to questioning what's going on here, and why do things, you know, falling apart and being torn apart like this, and what's the answer to this? And that's where the revolutionaries come in and providing the answer, in uniting with people in resisting outrages and struggling against oppression. But most of all, bringing to people the basic understanding of what is going on here and how this conflict in the society overall, including at the very top among the opposing sections of the ruling class, can provide openings for us to actually go at the whole system and holds the potential for the splitting apart of its dominant institutions, even the ones that carry out violent suppression of the people rising up. So this is what we mean when we say something terrible or something truly emancipating. But the truly emancipating has to come from us, has to come from the revolutionaries, it has to come from the people who catch hell under this system all the time, and it has to come from people who want justice in the world, even if they aren't catching the worst hell all the time. They have to wake up and recognize that their mission is not to get behind one section of the ruling class or another. And especially now, to recognize and seize on the opportunity to put revolution on the map, and then build on that, involving thousands and then ultimately millions of people to shake the whole society to its foundations and every institution in the society. And when those conditions ripen, then to go for the whole thing.
We need a revolution. And if we needed one more reason, we got one this week. Noche Diaz, a spokesperson for the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity, is going to speak about these heartless pigs in Illinois who murdered a woman in her 30s, Sonia Massey, in her own home after she called 911 for help. The heartless inhumanity of this system, evidenced from Gaza to the ghettos of this country, is such that it just makes your blood boil. Listen to Noche Diaz.
Have you seen the video? The footage from the body-worn camera of an Illinois sheriff as he murders Sonia Massey.
You're fucking not. That's where I'll fucking shoot you right in your fucking face.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Drop the pot!
Sonia Massey, 36-year-old black woman in Springfield, Illinois. The sheriff was responding to a call from Sonia, who called the police for help. This sheriff ordered Sonia to go to her kitchen and take care of a boiling pot, and then barked at her as she did what he told her to do. And as she froze, he threatened to shoot her in the face and then carried out that threat. Sonia did not have to die. The thousands and thousands of people murdered by the police should be with us here today. How long is this going to continue to go on? How many more times does the blood have to flow and the tears have to pour forth? The simple answer is, as long as we are forced to live under this nightmare of a white supremacist, capitalist, imperialist America. The revolutionary leader Bob Avakian has pointed out that when we get rid of this system, when we have power over society and are running things a whole different way, our people's security forces, our people's police would sooner die themselves than to carry out a wanton murder like this, because that's what it means to serve and protect the people. The chance to bring about a revolution to bring this system down once and for all is something to live for in the time we are in now. There's a chance that could be coming very soon to lead millions to finally put an end to this system once and for all, not for revenge, not to get back at those who have done this to people like us over and over again, but to get to a world where that doesn't go on to anyone anymore. And to live for that, you need to get with the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity, where you come together with others to get principles, to get the strategy and the understanding we need to make this revolution. You need to go to Bob Avakian Official to find out about the leadership we have to make this revolution. But do not let anyone tell you that we have to live this way. Don't let anyone tell you nothing else is possible. We can make a revolution to put an end to this system. And if you think that sounds crazy, if you think that sounds impossible, look around you. The impossible is happening every day. But to make that a reality, you, yes, I'm talking to you watching this video, are going to have to get serious about what it's going to take.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah. The people, they won't leave. What is threatening about divesting and wanting peace? The problem isn't the protests, it's what they're protesting. It goes against what our country is funding. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. When I was 7, I learned a lesson from Cuban Eazy-E. What was it again? Oh yeah, fuck the police. Actors and badges protecting property in a system that was designed by white supremacy.
But the people are in the streets. You could pay off Meta, you can't pay off me. Politicians who serve by any means. APAC, Koofy, and all the companies. You see, we sell fear around the land of the free. But this generation here is about to cut the strings. You could ban TikTok, take us out the algorithm. But it's too late, we've seen the truth, we bear witness. Seen the rubble, the buildings, the mothers and the children. And all the men that you murdered. And then we see how you spin it. Who gets the right to defend and who gets the right of resistance. It's always been about dollars and the color of your pigment. But white supremacy is finally on blast, screaming free Palestine to their home at last. We see the lies and claiming it's anti-Semitic to be anti-Zionist. I seen Jewish brothers and sisters out there and writhing in solidarity and screaming free Palestine with them organizing and learning and finally cutting ties with a state that's gotta rely on apartheid system to uphold and occupy and violent history been repeating for the last 75. The NECPA never ended, the colonizer lied. It's students in tents posted on the lawn, occupying the quad. Is really against the law and a reason to call and the police and their squad where this genocide land and your definition hot destroying every college in Gaza and every mosque pushing everyone into Rafah and dropping bombs the blood is on your hands Biden we can see it all and fuck no I'm not voting for you in the fall undecided you can't twist the truth the people out here united never be defeated when freedom's on the horizon yet the music industry's quiet complicit in their platform of silence. What happened to the artist? What you gotta say? If I was on a label, you could drop me today. I'd be fine with it, cause the heart fed my page. I want a ceasefire, fuck a response from Drake. What you willing to risk? What you willing to give? What if you were in Gaza? What if those were your kids? If the West was pretending that you didn't exist, you want the world to stand up, and the students finally did. Let's get it.